Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the weekend commodity newsletter for Sunday, August 8th. However, many of you may be reviewing this on Monday morning instead, because I'm putting out this newsletter much later than I normally do. I've been out of town most of the weekend, etc., so got a little late start today. Anyway, Steve Nelson put out his weekend newsletter several hours ago, so you should have time to review that at least. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a look at the charts tonight. This newsletter is divided into five sections, as you can see via the table of contents. Number one, we're going to take a look at general commodities, CRB, copper, crude oil, ERX, which is the three-time energy ETF, and BPNER. Next, I just want to look at long-term interest rates and bonds and the U.S. dollar. Three, we're going to look at gold and silver. Four, we're going to look at just gold stocks via the GDX, that's the ETF. And lastly, we'll look at the GDX swing trade system, which finally went on a buy signal last week. And I did send out an email on that on Friday, so you should be aware of it. So let's go ahead and jump into this. The first item in this newsletter just shows you a table of general commodities last week and some commodity stock sectors. You can see mostly green here. The CRB index was only up slightly, though. It was up 0.13%. However, commodity stocks led, as you can see. That's measured via the CRX index, and that was up 3.3%. So obviously, the stocks outperformed their respective commodities by a pretty good margin. Crude oil was up about 2.4%, and oil and energy stocks were up more than that, so they outperformed. Gold was up 2%, and gold stocks were up 3.9%, so again, they outperformed. The U.S. dollar fell once again. It's really had a good correction since its June highs, and it continues in this downtrend channel. I'll show a chart below. Of course, silver rallied, and it was up about 2.6%. The commodities that were down, as you can see, were palladium, natural gas, down an amazing 9%, and gasoline. So let's go and take a look at the charts here. Some of these I'm just going to fly through. Many of these I cover each week, and a lot of times things don't change, and of course I cover them intra-week as well. So the first chart here, item number 3. Again, if you're new to this newsletter format, each chart has a corresponding number to the upper left-hand side. That's so you can follow along and not get lost as I discuss each chart. Again, the first chart is the CRB index. It's just a index of, it's composed of 19 different various commodities, so it gives you a nice broad view. Anyway, the CRB topped out in January of this year, had a nice ABC correction, and it found support in early June at the 50% Fibonacci retracement, and it rallied up, broke out of the wedge. I talked about it last week, and it rallied a little bit this week, and finally it pulled back, you could see on Thursday and Friday, which is quite logical. You could see the RSI at the top. I have that circle on it. It was way overbought, so it's pulling back logically. So, you know, that's a bullish sign. And the 200-day moving average in green could act as some support. And, of course, if we go below that, that broken downtrend line of the channel is support. Remember, in technical analysis, when you break a trend line, it often becomes support, you know, or resistance, depending on which way you break. So lots of support if the CRB pulls back. So nothing, you know, everything looks decent there. Of course, the dollar is helping the commodities. Chart number 4 is the weekly CRB index, and you can see how it looks on the weekly chart, etc. No reason to comment about that anymore. Chart number 5 is DBC. That's the commodities ETF, and it has a little different technical perspective here. You can see it while the CRB broke out of its channel, the DBC ETF didn't. It stopped right at the downtrend line from the January highs. So that's resistance. Chart number 6 is a daily chart of copper, and again, you know, copper, you can see my comments from July, it had formed a nice symmetrical triangle, broke out of the triangle strongly to the upside, and of course that also helped propel other commodities and even the general market. Copper has really been leading the general market. Commodities have been leading the market, basically, but copper has really been leading it, and I'll show that below. But, you know, copper is now, I'd say, overbought in the short term. It's had a pretty strong vertical move up here in the short term, the last few weeks. So I wouldn't be surprised if it pulls back here a little bit. Obviously, there's quite a bit of support below. It's a 200-day moving average, etc., which is in green. So again, don't be surprised if we see a little pullback in copper. And chart number 7 is a longer-term chart of copper. And I also have the S&P 500 above. I talked about this last week. So, again, you can see how the copper's been leading the general market. And, again, I'm measuring the general market as the S&P 500. You can see copper bottomed first in 2009, whereas the S&P didn't bottom until March. Well, copper bottomed in December of 2008. Let me say that again. And the S&P 500 bottomed in March. So it bottomed first. And then copper topped first. It topped in early April of this year, while the S&P topped in late April. And you can see copper bottomed first as well. It bottomed in early June, whereas the S&P didn't bottom until early July. So copper continues to lead. And so it's definitely something to follow if you're even looking at the general market. Commodities have been leading the market. And the 60 period, or the 144 period stochastics at the bottom, which is a stochastics that's slowed down by a factor of 10. Remember, normal stochastics are 14-3 setting. This is 144, so it's 10 times. And of course, that's a Fibonacci number, so I like that. You can see how that long period stochastics has been pretty good for general buy and sell signals, giving you basically long-term signals. Basically, you know what it does. I mean, it just filters out. It smooths it out. You can see the normal 14-3 stochastics above, how it's real up and down, choppy. So I like these longer period stochastics because they really smooth things out, take out the noise. Take a look at crude oil quickly. Chart number 8 is a daily chart of crude oil. I had the same chart in last week's newsletter. You know, again, crude oil took out this resistance at that 80 area that I talked about last week, which was the 61.8% retracement. So that was resistance. Crude oil took that out. Rallied up intra-week, and it pulled back the last couple days, Thursday and Friday. So let's see if the 80 area can act as support. If it doesn't, then the moving averages are just below. So, you know, otherwise, you know, it's had a nice move up. Now, I do have a bearish scenario on here. Too early to say if it's true, but, you know, I'm going to present it. This still could be some kind of right shoulder to a head and shoulder pattern. And the bearish count would have this being just an ABC bounce up. So, again, you know, there's no divergence on here. And, you know, for now I'm going to have the bearish count for crude oil as my alternate count, unless crude oil just starts to sell off here. Okay, so we'll just take it one day at a time and we'll react to what it does. But there's the scenario. If you want a bearish scenario, that would be it. The now chart number 9 is the monthly long-term chart of crude oil. Just shows you the big picture. You know, crude oil bottomed, of course, in late 98, around $11 a barrel, which was unreal if you think about what it is today. And had a pretty good move up, had a five-wave move up, as you can see, had a huge correction in 2008, and we've rallied up. But, you know, so far the rally, you know, on a long-term basis still looks maybe like a corrective rally. Maybe this whole thing forms a lower high eventually, and then maybe we go down again. You can see maybe it's forming a long-term rising wedge. Of course, that broken up trend line is resistance. Remember, technical analysis, when you break a trend line, it becomes resistance. And, you know, crude oil wasn't able to retrace 50% of the move up, down. 50% was 92. Crude oil didn't get to 90. So, now what would cause crude oil to break down like that? Well, unfortunately, probably a major world economic slowdown. So we'll see what happens, guys. So anyway, chart number 10 is the ERX. That's the 3x energy ETF. I had this chart a few weeks, well, probably several weeks back, and the ERX had positive divergence at July lows, pretty much just like the general stock market. And it's rallied up nicely since then. It's had a pretty good move up here, pretty good vertical move. It rallied straight up, broke over the downtrend line, got over all the moving averages, and got a little bit above the 38% Fib. And I can draw a steep uptrend line here. So again, wouldn't be surprised to see ERX pull back here. It looks like it's just had a little bit too much move in the short term. But otherwise, it's had a good move off the lows. Now, the chart number 11 is a 60-minute ERX chart. And you can see you got clear support at the uptrend line from the July lows. So that's support, and based on this chart, you know, I could, again, I could still see another move up if it wants to. It needs to break that uptrend line, which was held last week, in order to have a better correction. The reason I'm showing you this is because several of you I know trade ERX. That's, again, the energy ETF, and it's a three-time ETF. It's quite volatile, so be careful with it, but some of you trade it, and that's why I'm showing it to you. Chart number 12 is the BP&ER, Bullish Percent Energy Index. When it gets down in the low 20-30 percentile range, it's a pretty good low-risk area to look to pick up oil and energy stocks, and when it's, of course, in the 70s, 80s, 90s especially, it's a higher risk time for energy stocks. It's not perfect, it's pretty whippy, kind of up and down. It doesn't always fall to the same place or go back up to the same place, but it continues to trend higher. But the RSI, as you can see below where I have it circled, was quite high last week. It's turning down a little bit here, so it's something to watch. Again, if it wants to pull back here, ERX would pull back as well. Next, just want to talk about long-term interest rates, bonds, and U.S. dollar. That's in my number 13. Because long-term interest rates continue to fall. I mean, it's great for those of you who still have not refinanced your house. If you can do so, and you can do so without incurring too many fees, then, you know, it makes sense. Again, be careful of predatory mortgage lenders, because I've heard of horror stories. Heck, a girl who cuts my hair, she told me that she refinanced her house through this one place, and she has a house that's only about $150,000. That's about what it's worth. Modest house, and the place charged her $6,000 in fees. That is just unreal. Unreal. So be careful of that. Don't fall into that trap. Look at your payments. Look how much you owe. See how much you're paying in interest every month, and see how long it will take you to pay off the fees. Okay. Like for myself, I still own my house, but it doesn't make any sense for me to refinance because I'm paying my house off so quickly that, you know, I would never recoup the fees that I would incur to refinance. Generally, most companies charge maybe $1,000 to $2,000 for fees. So again, but anyway, I'm kind of rambling on about this, so let's move on. The point is, long-term interest rates continue to fall, and it is one thing I am concerned about, because it makes me worry about a Japan scenario. Look at what happened in Japan. Their market topped out in 1990, and it's still in a downtrend, 20 years. So, and they've been stuck in that deflationary scenario. So the fact that long-term interest rates continue to go down causes me some concern about some deflationary, even though, of course, the government's printing tons of money. It still worries me. And so anyway, you can see this chart number 14 is the TNX, that's the 10-year rate, and divide that by 10, and so you'll get basically 10-year rates are 2.8%. So you can see it broke down again on Friday. Again, there is divergence building here, but, you know, it continues to go down, and it needs to turn up and break the downtrend line before those rates have bottomed. Chart number 15 is USB, that's the 30-year bond. Bonds move opposite of interest rates. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the long term with these rates. Well, even in the short term and intermediate term. Obviously, in the short term, I think the declining rates are causing some money to go into the market, because if you're a saver, you got, you know, a few hundred thousand and sitting in the bank, you don't make any money. They don't pay anything, and so some of that money goes into the stock market to seek some kind of return. Savers are being destroyed. However, I would still argue that long-term it's not good for the market, because, again, look at Japan. They had their interest rates at 0% forever, and obviously their market didn't benefit. Their market's been in a downtrend for 20 years. So let's see what happens with that longer term. Again, enough's enough. Let's move on. Chart number 16 is the U.S. dollar. It continues to be in this downtrend channel, very tight channel, as you can see. Very little up and down movement, pretty much just a straight line. The dollar, of course, topped out in July, or in June, I mean, with negative divergence. And the stochastics below that 89 period crossed below 80%. Again, you can see I use these custom stochastics above in this copper. I use the 144. Well, here I'm using an 89 period. And what's 89? It's another Fibonacci number, guys. So the again, you can see U.S. dollars in a downtrend channel. It's just slightly below the 200-day moving average. Again, don't just because it's slightly below the 200-day moving average, don't think that it has to just crash from here. It doesn't. Remember, things in technical analysis, stuff likes to sometimes overshoot support and resistance areas to take out stops. So, again, given that there's some positive divergence in the histogram below, you can see the MACD histogram, I think the dollar is getting closer to a bounce. Also, watch the U.S. dollar S&P ratio. You can see at the top, I have the ratio trend lines. Notice how well those ratios have been working. So if that crosses, then maybe the dollar will be ready for a bounce. Okay. Chart number 17 is a 240-minute U.S. dollar chart. This is from TradeStation. And you can see it. There's some divergence here in the 240-minute chart. And there's a little falling wedge here. So again, let's watch this week. If the dollar bounces here, again, that could give a reason for commodities to have a pullback. And maybe for the general market to finally have a pullback too. Moving on, item number 18. This is gold and silver. Let's take a look at that. Chart number 19 is a daily chart of gold. I had this in last week's newsletter. And you can see gold bounced right off that 150-day moving average like I talked about. The 150-day moving average in green. That had been support, been tested and held support the last four times. Over the last year, you could see my arrows. And so logically, it held support again. So we also had a little falling wedge here. We had some divergence in the MACD histogram and the 60-period stochastics below. Again, you can see I'm using a longer period stochastics here. It crossed up above 20%. You can see that's worked well for the last three times. So everything lined up for gold to bounce. It bounced off support. Now what does it do? That's the big question of mine. Has it formed an intermediate bottom here? Is it ready to go to new highs or is it not? That's the big question in my mind. I mean, there's lots of positives here. We bounced off support. All the indicators are lined up. But you can see gold stopped right at the 50-day moving average last week. And, well, let's look at some other charts here before we answer that. Chart number 20 is just a shorter-term chart of gold. And you can see how we both rallied out of the wedge. And, again, we talked about that above. Chart number 21 is another chart of gold. And this is a little Elliott wave count. This is the one thing that concerns me. So, yes, gold may have put in a significant bottom and may go to new highs, but my comments from last week, August 1st, I'm still leaning a little bit towards this scenario, that this is a wave B move up that will form a lower high, and then ultimately gold will have maybe one more pull down in wave C before it bottoms. The only reason I'm saying that is because I'm still not sure if this correction in gold is long enough from June to late July based on the weekly charts. That's my opinion. Again, we'll see if gold goes up high enough here, if it gets over the 50-day moving average and, you know, gets over to say 1225, then I think gold is probably bottom. But for now, I still think there's a good possibility that it could form a lower high. Again, may not happen. I may be wrong, but that's my view. Chart number 22 is GLD, that's the ETF. Again, same analysis applies to as the gold metal above. And chart number 23 is GLD 60-minute chart. You can see, again, it had a wedge in the 60-minute chart. It retraced about 50% of the move down. Again, that's the ETF. Chart number 24 is the weekly chart of gold. And again, the reason why I state that I'm not sure if the pullback in gold was long enough for a significant bottom is because of the long-term wave count. You can see this chart goes back to the beginning of the bull market in 2001. I have all the Elliott wave counts on here. If you don't understand Elliott wave, then you could ignore it. But for those of you who do, my point is that this I consider this correction a wave 4. We had negative divergence in the weekly charts on the MACD. And because of the weekly chart, the consolidation or correction, it should be more than a month. That's why I think maybe that's a wave B. Then we ultimately have one more pullback into the fall time frame for a wave C. that would give it more time. I just don't like the short time frame, guys. Again, I could be wrong. Those of you who are gold bugs probably think it's just going to rally out of here and go to new highs. And if it does, so be it. Let it go. I have a lot of gold myself, a lot of physical metal. But part of me still thinks we got more to go after this bounce concludes. Chart number 25 is silver. You can see, again, nothing's changed from my comments from last week. Silver's forming this symmetrical triangle pattern. We rallied off support. We still have yet to break out of the pattern, though. But we're inside the pattern. Chart number 26 is SLV. That's the ETF. Again, obviously, the same pattern. We're inside a symmetrical triangle pattern. Moving on, the fourth part of this newsletter, gold. We're going to look at gold stocks. We're going to look at GDX. That's the gold stock ETF. Chart number 28 is the weekly chart at GDX. Again, each week I have this chart, and this chart looks identical to how it did weeks and weeks ago. Obviously, nothing's changed in the long-term analysis for GDX. It bounced off of major support last couple weeks. Major support is that uptrend line from early 2009. Major resistance is the long-term upper trend line from the 2008 highs, which has been tested about four times. So, again, gold, basically GDX is just consolidating, bouncing around inside this long-term triangle pattern. Eventually, if it can break out of this triangle pattern, that would be extremely, extremely bullish. I think GDX will rally up, you know, it could rally up 50% or more and maybe rally for months. But for now, it's inside the pattern. But it did rally off support. Chart number 29 is a daily chart of GDX. GDX, you can see, rallied up, and it's testing this broken up trend line. That is a resistance area. So if it can get above there, that'll be positive, but for now, it's testing some resistance. Chart number 30 is the same daily GDX chart, just shows you a close-up view. Chart number 31 is a 60-minute GDX chart. GDX rallied out of this bullish falling wedge. It bottomed in late July, and it's had a nice move up. But, you know, it's retraced up here, just shy of the 50% Fibonacci retracement. So let's see if it wants to consolidate here a little bit. Again, on the 60-minute chart, for those of you who are might be new to this site, the one thing I find that works fairly well for noting overbought and oversold buy and sell signals is the 60-period stochastics at the bottom. You can see it crossed up over 20% in late July. That was a good buy signal. And the sell signals were pretty good in June. Again, it's a longer period stochastics. Again, if you're noticing a theme, I like to use longer period stochastics, not the standard 14-3 stochastics. On the 60-minute GDX chart, there isn't any negative divergence here, so that is a positive. Chart number 32 is the 15-minute GDX chart. You can see there's some support at the uptrend line. And you can see the various stochastics I have below. Now, chart number 33 is the 60-minute GDXJ chart. This is the gold stock junior ETF. And very clean chart. You can see how it took out resistance last week, which is now support on a pullback. But it stopped at that gap resistance. You can see we have a big old gap resistance up between about 28.50, just up over 29, low 29 area. So that's big resistance area. Now, the last part of this newsletter, item number 34. We're going to look at the GDX Swing Trade System, which, again, is located on the website. For those of you who are members, log in, look in the site, you'll see a tab that says GDX Swing System. So chart number 35 is the BPGDM Bullish Percent Gold Miners Index. This is what this system is based on when it crosses above or below the 8-day moving average. And last week, on Friday, it finally crossed over the 8-day moving average for a buy signal. Now, I'm not happy that it finally bought. I wish it would have bought before this because, you know, gold stocks have been rallying up here for little more than a week, and so it's buying in after a nice move up already in gold stocks. That's how this system works. BPGDM is like turning a big ship, big cruise liner. It doesn't make sharp turns. You know, it's not like a sports car. So, you know, it's slow to react. It's good that it's slow to react, and it's bad that it's slow to react. So, you know, it'll keep you in a trend, and it won't change on a whipsaw, won't change on noise, but then also won't get you in at the best prices either. So anyway, it went on a buy signal on Friday. I alerted everyone to the website that it did via email, SMS text message system, and on the blog. Item number 36 is the statistics to the GDX system. On the left side is the original system, just as it is. You can see that the system lately has, the last three trades have been slight losers. You can see it lost 0.7%, 0.3%, and 0.7% on the last three trades. They were losing trades. They were very minor losers. That's the beauty of the system. The max loss it could take is basically 6%. That's where a stop goes. And but you can see it is a disciplined system. But sometimes you have double-digit gains. And on the side, there are some tweaked settings of the system where, you know, you could either, item number one, you could sell your position at after a 10% gain or sell it at a 20% gain. But selling it at a 20% gain gives you the most total gains, or it would have given you total gains. Basically, this system doesn't seem to produce gains really over 20%. If you compare this table to last week, you'll notice some changes. I found a few errors, okay? A member to the website alerted me to this, and so I did fix a few errors on here. I apologize for that, but it should all be correct now. I went over every trade with a fine-toothed comb over the weekend. So anyway, the system is currently on a long from Friday, and let's see what happens. Hopefully this one works out. And the last few charts are just some individual gold stocks. Again, these stocks I'm not advocating to buy. These are stocks that I had in the last couple of newsletters, and they've moved up nicely. Like chart number 37, ANV, was a very low risk buy off the 200-day moving average. You can see it's bounced up nicely. Chart number 38 is AUY. It was in a bullish wedge. I liked the trend line over the ratio at the top. It's had a nice rally out of there. Chart number 39, TRE, gold stock. Last week I said that it had an ascending triangle, broke out to the upside on increasing volume. And chart number 40, ABX, broke out of this bullish falling wedge last week, a couple weeks ago. And you could see how the ratio at the top worked well. So, again, just some examples. And I wouldn't chase them here unless they pulled back, but just showing that these charts that I had in the last couple newsletters played out for anyone who took them. So let's see what happens this week, and I will talk to you later and see you in the trading community. Remember, if you're new to the website, come on to the trading community. Steve and I post there all day, and if you have a question, you can send us a private message, etc. Have a great evening, or good morning if it's the morning time when you're listening to this. Thank you.